1-877-535-9100. Thank you for coming by. All right, here's what's coming up. We have a big announcement we're going to make here in just a short while. We've got the top five coming up. We got the top five songs about the days of the week and so forth. And I think we're going to, we got the worst song ever. We've got that Britney theme to get to and all of that stuff. Plus, we're going to try to get to some more of this, try to get to some more of these news stories because the watches have really piled up substantially today. It's just beyond belief. Do you have in the today folder, there should be a thing labeled TalkNet, by the way. Should be a file labeled TalkNet bed. And so I haven't listened to this yet, but I believe that this is the opening instrumental bed underneath Bruce Williams and all the old TalkNet shows. Yeah. Welcome, my friends. Welcome to my world. This is where we talk to you, with you, about you, your hopes, your dreams, all the things that make you so very special. Me? Yeah, I'm Bruce. Welcome to my world, my friends. Welcome to TalkNet. And then there should be a little tag here. Oh, no, no, this is a completely instrumental one. So this must be like a bump to calm or something. Where would somebody even get that? I mean, it's an instrumental version because originally it was this horrible, like, 70s gold thing where they were singing
TalkNet. That sounded horrible.
Someone who can't. Well, can you imagine?
I have your recorded one.
Well, can you imagine having to do a program that started with that? And I love Bruce Williams. I always have. I always will. But the TalkNet was not. That was before sort of the big talk radio revival that was led by Rush Limbaugh in the early 80s. That was when things were still. When the AM band of talk radio was just dying out, man, like an untended flower. And there were all of these programs that have now either gone away or that are existing on, like, 15th-tier networks. Because TalkNet had Bruce Williams, who was, like, your financial guy. They had this woman named Myrna Lamb. And it was all just bad variations on Dear Abby. That's all that stuff was. And there was a woman. There was a woman named Lee Mirabal, and her whole thing was. Lee Mirabal's whole thing was she called herself your friendly next-door neighbor. And that was like the whole, you know, my husband doesn't have sex with me anymore and doesn't help clean around the house. And then she would say, well, what you need to do is, and they were all like these terrible variations on Bruce Williams. So we can thank God that went away. All right, well, let's make a note to ourselves that we have that. At some point, I'll open the show with that. Before I get any further behind, we got to talk about the Britney thing, and then we'll probably take a break. We'll come back. We'll do the announcement, then probably the worst song ever. And then we'll talk to Dennis, who I think is going to be on the phone today. And we've got the top five. We've got the Geek Watch and all of that. So in today's folder is that Britney Spears song. I don't know if you've seen this video, but this is for Do Something, which is the new song off with that Greatest Hits record or whatever she has. And it's just awful. I mean, it's awful beyond all comprehension. And I don't really know whether it's the song that's so terrible or whether it's just her singing it. It's not unlike some of that Gwen Stefani stuff because I don't know. It's not like it's just recently that Whitey has started trying to sound like he's black. But it's even less convincing when it comes from somebody like Britney Spears. It's like Christina Aguilera did in that. What is that video where, like, she's all like in it? Where she's still living in the projects and she's standing out there.
Oh, yeah, when she's, like, singing with her girls.
It looks like she's in West Side Story and she's singing America to the Sharks. You know what I mean? Where it's just her and a bunch of sassy sisters. And they're out there, like, and it's all like a hot summer day. It looks like they're on the set of Do the Right Thing.
And she's all, like, greasy and orange.
And greasy really is the right word for it. Mm-hmm. Because that's a girl who, there is no middle ground with Christina Aguilera. She always either looks beautiful or she looks like she's just been rolled in canola oil. She looks like she's in blackface in that video. I mean, her skin, and don't slide me any garbage about how she's Latin and whatnot. I mean, she's like this. She's the color of milk. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And then you watch the video where she's out with her homegirls, and it really is like they have just rolled her in cocoa.
Her homegirls.
Well, you know what I mean? It's like she's some blue-eyed, blonde, white girl. And then she's out there on the corner with a bunch of black chicks, and then they've done everything but put like minstrel makeup on her. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I can't imagine.
And she's thinking about being on the streets, even though what she grew up in, like white suburbia.
Well, like, goddamn, Gwen.
She was in a Mickey Mouse club.
Gwen Stefani, who is from, correct me if I'm wrong, isn't Gwen Stefani from Orange County?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Orange County is the second whitest place in America following Salt Lake. Salt Lake City is the whitest place in the country, closely followed by Orange County. So, I mean, whatever one says about Orange County, certainly a thriving music scene there, certainly a lot of fantastic musical artists. Not a whole lot of soul, not a whole lot of blackness, not a whole lot of anything that's not Lily White.
I still don't like her. I can't pinpoint why.
Gwen Stefani is on that list of people that we dislike for no readily apparent reason, though. This is a list, now that I'm doing a tangent inside a tangent, Sarah and I were talking off the air last week, and we had made this list of people. And you all, look, here's the thing is, I don't even need to tell you who's on the list. You all could probably tell me who's on it. We made this list of people that everyone dislikes for no readily apparent reason. In other words, you know, they've never really done anything to you. They haven't killed anybody. They don't set fire to puppies. They haven't done anything horrible. But they're disliked by everyone. And Gwen Stefani's right there. I probably spent less than 10 minutes of my entire life paying close attention to Gwen Stefani, but I dislike her intensely for reasons that I couldn't explain or quantify to anybody. Who else is on the list? Is Gwen Stefani?
Bono.
There's no reason for me. I mean, he's raised hundreds of millions of dollars for the developing world. He's, you know, he does what he does. Isn't he nominated for, like, the Nobel Peace Prize or something? You know, but I just loathe it, man. It's like you couldn't make me happier than to kick that guy off a cliff and have him devoured by jellyfish. It would just make me giggle for days. There's no real reason for it. See, also Jennifer Lopez, who I dislike for no reason. But Gwen Stefani's right up there. And so Gwen Stefani is not only unlikable, she's now creepy. And she's got... Like, what if I had just had a bunch of small, scantily clad Filipino boys trailing me everywhere I went? Like, what if I...
Well, and all of her interviews just consist of her talking about how brilliant she is and how, you know, unique and special, and it's just annoying.
Well, and the other reason that Gwen Stefani annoys me, it's not that she's got the weird... I mean, there's just something strange about having, first of all, the Oriental girls following her around everywhere she goes, walking three or four steps behind her.
There's something very egomaniacal about her.
Well, and it's also the thing, like the Christina Aguilera thing, where she's trying to... And I don't have any problem with anybody embracing a type of music other than what they grew up with. That's certainly fine. I mean, look, you're talking to a guy. I sat and I watched last night on the TiVo. I watched 6 hours of Yo MTV Raps, which was being aired by VH1 Classic. VH1 Classic, whose sole mission in life now seems to be to try to make me feel old. Because VH1 Classic has developed this new programming strategy where they're taking all of the old... long-form programs from back in the day, and they're now broadcasting them in marathons. And they have a whole ad for it. All the programs you remember from way back when, they're all here on VH1 Classic. So, like, on Saturday, they did 6 hours of Storytellers. On Sunday, they did 6 hours of Yo! MTV Raps. And so they're listing off all of the old programs from MTV, which they are now airing as... You know, like reruns on VH1 Classic. It's Yo! MTV Raps, it's House of Style, it's MTV Unplugged, it's Club MTV, it's The Grind with the Eric Nice. And then Behind the Music, which is apparently now old enough that it qualifies as like a golden oldie from way back when. So I'm watching 6 hours of like Eric B. and Rakim and Kool Moe Dee videos yesterday. So I have no problem with somebody embracing music forms that come from a different social group as their own. But there is a difference between being a fan or an enthusiast of something, dabbling in something, and then just sounding like Amos and or Andy when you perform, which is what Gwen Stefani sounds like to me, and it's what Christina Aguilera often sounds like to me.
And what Britney sounds like now?
It's what Britney sounds like now. So this is all leading up to this song, which is the new Britney Spears single, which is Do Something. Now, before we play this...
Something.
Let me tell you a little bit about this video. It starts with her in a giant pink Hummer, which is rolling through... She's driving through the clouds in a giant pink Hummer, flanked by, you know, her sisters in Seoul. And then it becomes, as I said earlier, every Britney Spears video, where it cuts to her in the club, and she's doing that thing, like video cliche number 105, where the camera is inside the club, pointed at the closed double doors, and then the doors, like, are hurled open as she walks in, flanked by her dancers on either side, which is a thing that was already old, like, 15 years ago. And then she's doing the thing where she's busting it out and, you know, doing her thing. And then there's the obligatory sequence where she and all the female singers are holding a bunch of instruments that you know, so they're, like, really, they're rocking out to the song.
Oh, and God, I want to see this video more than anything.
And then it's her in a half shirt, and then it's her on a waterbed. And, I mean, it's...
Doing the same... So is she just, like, rolling around and gyrating again?
No, it's like the stripperiest video you've ever seen. Like
the last one was pretty bad.
More so than any of her other videos. It really is her... Through large sections of the video, it's just her in, like, these really closely cut, like, black, not thong underwear, but very skimpy underwear, skimpy bra, kneeling on a bed, like, writhing all over and rubbing it as though she's applying copper tone to her body. And then at the end, they have this one shot where she is, how do I put this, she's drawing her hand up her inner thigh to her stomach, but then they freeze it and they play it backward and forward and backward and forward again. They sort of stutter, so it looks as though she's...
Oh my God, nutty girl!
It looks as though she's got some like an electric butterfly in her hand that she's doing something with. But then the best part is the closing credits where they give you the directed by, and who's it directed by?
Mick G.
No.
Spike Lee.
No. Oh, come on, you're so obvious.
I don't know. She did it.
Yeah, no, but not her.
Kevin?
No, but it's not credited to Britney Spears. Who's it credited to?
Kevin Federline? No.
Mona Lisa.
Oh, no.
Her alter ego. Her supplementary persona. It's directed. She's now branched.
I have to hear the song.
It's fantastic. Now, listen, we'll get to the first chorus, which is terrible, and then once the second set of verses begins, the second set, listen to how she ratchets up the black. As she said, go ahead and you play this from the beginning here. This is Britney Spears called Do Something. In that cash. Heyo. Now listen to that do something. How embarrassing is that? Now listen to as she ratchets it up here. Now you're all in my grill, cause I say what I feel. Only rockin' what's real. Now you're all fun, but I can't do that with you. Already here with my crew. Just roll if you can, don't be a bum. You're up in her grill, cause she got something that's real, and she's here with her crew.
Wow.
It's rocks are what's real.
Good thing someone passed her a guitar.
It's embarrassing. Is that does it sound like that Lindsay Lohan song where she's all in the surveillance
camera?
Yeah,
she's like, everyone's talking about me.
Another one of those Leave Me Alone.
Yeah, and this also sounds like the song she just did, like her cover song.
Oh, and there's a guy in the video who looks a lot like Justin Timberlake. I don't know whether it's supposed to be like a lookalike or something. this is the part. Now, this is where she moves to the fan.
Wow.
I mean, I was embarrassed for her the first time I saw this. And every time she does an interview, doesn't she talk about how she's more and more ludicrous every time she does it? Okay.
Let's
never play that again. But every time she does an interview, she's talking about, I don't want to be part of somebody's Lolita thing. I don't want old men looking at me because I'm in like crotchless panties or whatever, which is it's like every video she does, and it's very telling that her alter ego of Mona Lisa directed the video, and it is without a doubt the single worst video she's ever made. I mean, it is appallingly bad. It is shockingly bad. Well, we can all be glad that she's decided to tell her personal story through art. So there you go. I'll tell you what, let's take a break. We'll come back. When we return, we will have our announcement. We have a big announcement around the corner, and then we'll do the Geek Watch, and we'll have It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard, which, amazingly enough, is not that Britney Spears song. Dennis here later on, top five as well. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. About working here is that there's people in this building so aware of their own stench that they bring their own stench remover. Yeah, we run out of coffee here like once a week. There's a giant bottle of Febreze, which I guess they euphemistically refer to as fabric refresher. But it's really just like a stink be gone. You know, it's like if you openly reek your own foulness. And that's one of those things where typically people don't know that they stink. You know, people, like, you can't tell you, like, you can't smell your own bad breath. As many people obviously can't smell their own body odor. This is for when your own body odor has become so foul, has become so repellent, has become so overtly offensive to everyone that even you yourself cannot abide it. And listen to this. This is nearly a quart of Febreze, which is left right here. Febreze, which is used, theoretically speaking, for like your couch or your sofa. Maybe if you're a smoker or something, or you spilled maybe some water into one of your armchairs.
If you wake up a little late in the morning and don't have time to take a shower, it's a good kind of thing to put in your hair.
But you can't do that. That's exactly what people do, though. They spray it all over their clothing. It's sort of like how perfume is bathe no more. This is just sort of a wash no more product. All right. Let me read these things here. Then we'll do the announcement. Then we'll do the worst song ever. Then I believe Dennis Pitzenbarger is going to be here. We're kind of flopping. We're switching Dennis's today. So we'll have Dennis Pitzenbarger here. Then we'll have the top five. We have the Geek Watch and so forth. Let's see. I will just read these things in no particular order. This is on the, what's happened to my childhood front. Bryan Adams and Def Leppard team for family-priced stadium tour. Bryan Adams, which is from melodicrock.com. Bryan Adams and Def Leppard will team up for a co-headlining stint through America's ballpark stadiums. And it seems the ticket price is a steal. The Rock and Roll Family Doubleheader Tour will see two of the most popular rock acts ever to take the stage team up for the first time. perform at 26 minor league baseball stadiums in the United States. In each park, the stage will be set up in the outfield, and fans can either bring a blanket to sit on the field or take a seat to the stands. They are, of course, coming here. They'll be playing at PGE Park. It's just depressing. Just sad. For each paid adult, one child under 12 will be admitted for free. So Def Leppard is now offering the same sort of pricing scheme that the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus does when they come to town. So that's not depressing. Also, this Alanis Morissette. Have you heard this Alanis Morissette news, undoubtedly? Alanis Morissette has announced plans to re-record her breakthrough album, Jagged Little Pill, in its entirety, with the original set listing in an entirely acoustic form, which will then be released on June 13th, 2005, the 10th anniversary of the release of Jagged Little Pill's original incarnation. The CD will be sold exclusively at Starbucks. There you go. Why should my childhood be the only one to suffer? And finally,
thanks.
This. Yes, doing what I can. Finally, this. I want to thank our friend Kara, who dropped off. I got this large cardboard box. It dropped off on Friday, and it had like a little Gene Simmons like collector's thing in it. But it's this huge box. She's done that wacky thing of the small item inside the huge box. It says, "Dear Balloon Sissy, heard you had a birthday. I don't really care, as you're much older and balder than I am. But then I saw this. Blah, blah, blah. She gives me the Gene Simmons doll." But the box is fastened shut with like 500 staples. There's like, it's been stapled shut. I mean, with somebody using like half the swing line. So, yes?
Dennis Glasgow's on the phone. Did you want to talk to him?
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hey, hello. Hi there. Was that Dennis?
I think so.
Well done, Dennis. All right. Well, in any event. All right, well, just completely interrupted my flow. Well, let's just get to the announcement. In keeping with today's spirit of everything having to be moved around and everything going bad. So do we have some sort of an announcement for the, do we have some sort of theme?
I don't know. Should I?
Do we have some sort of a musical bed that we can use as the, announcing lead up music to our announcement? Thank you. It's really just an excuse me to finish my coffee, which I can't really drink without causing that air down on my
side. America, yeah, coming again to save the motherfucking day, yeah, America,
yeah.
Freedom is the only way, yeah, tears your geester. Now you have to...
Can we listen to the whole thing?
Yes. Excellent. All right, here at 10:56 on Monday, March 14th, 2005, we are pleased to announce the confirmation of the next Rick Emerson Lister Party, which is what, 9, 12, 8? The hell is it?
72.
It's because we had...
No, I think it's like 9. 8?
I think it's 9 because I think the one in October was 8. I think the Halloween was 8, but I'm not entirely sure about that. Well, whatever it is. So whatever the last listener party is, this is it plus one. Now, but that's not the big announcement. So we have the announcement that the next listener party is coming up. The big announcement, though, is that this is, for the first time ever, after repeated requests and by popular demand.
So excited.
The next Rick Emerson listener party will be on Friday, April 15th, which is tax day. Because people...
And give the other best part. It's going to be...
Now, do we want to announce that yet?
Well, let's not say where, but let's just say that it's in a different place and it's in town.
Well, we should announce where it is, but we shouldn't announce... I know what you're thinking. We shouldn't announce that yet.
Okay, let's not.
I don't mean to be a big tease by having these discussions on the air, but we shouldn't announce that quite yet. It will be Friday, April 15th from 8... Well, starting at 8 p.m. 8 p.m. until whenever. Friday, April 15th at 8 p.m. at the Viper Room, which is on 7th and Hawthorne. Which is actually a brand new place. The building has been there for a while, but the place itself has been completely remodeled, inside and out. You may have seen this driving up Hawthorne tonight, which it's got the big, it's got the flames, and it's got the huge torches out front. Inside, it's got two levels. It's got a stage upstairs. It's got a closed. This is the great thing about the Viper Room. It's got a closed circuit TV system inside, so that you can see all the action no matter where you are. So. All the stuff that happens upstairs, all the stuff that happens on the stage. If you're downstairs, if you're at the bar, there's a little DJ booth downstairs. There's a bunch of chairs, there's couches, there's seating, there's empty floor space. Wherever you are, you're going to be able to see all the stuff that is happening upstairs. So it is Friday, April 15th. From 8 p.m. Till 10 p.m. Rick Emerson Listener Party blank.
And you know what? I think it's 8 because I remember we wanted to make Halloween list. We thought that Listener Party... that it was listener party 6 because one was 666, but it was 7.
Right, it was 7. So it'll be listener party 8. So Rick Emerson, listener party 8, Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m. At the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. And as the weeks go on, we have a few things.
Let's not say everything at once.
We have a few things confirmed that we're going to do that we will talk more about. Write it down, pencil it in, because from day one, and it's not like we haven't gone out of our way to put them on a Thursday to screw with people. It's just, we like putting them on a Thursday because it gives us an opportunity to sort of rehash it the next day, to talk about it, you know, the following day, so everybody who didn't go can kind of catch up on what they missed. People who did go can sort of relive it, you know, just a few hours later. But we've done all of them on a Thursday so far. And so we figured that there's X number of people out there. I don't know how many, but every time I meet somebody, every time we talk to people, every time I get email, it's from people who say that I would go, I'd be there, I would have gone to all the ones in the past, but it's like I got to work at 3 a.m. or I'm just not able to go or I can't get a babysitter or I've got gout or something. And so this is going to be Friday, April 15th, starting at 8 p.m. for Rick Emerson Listener Party 8 at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne. So pencil it in now and do make a note of it because we will be... We will be doing that over the next few weeks. We'll be talking about all the stuff happening there, and we'll be putting it together. Should we take a break here? We'll come back. All right, we're going to come back with Dennis Pitzenbarger. We've got It's the Worst Song Ever. We've got Top 5, Geek Watch, all of that stuff on the way. You say there's the Rick Emerson Show, live from Portland. Don't go anywhere. Back after this.
Not Rick, it's not local. Rick Emerson, live and local, only on Max 910. Talk radio for guys.
It's so true. This guy's totally nailed it. Other people that we hate for no reason. Moby, boy, I hate that guy. I'd love to pound that guy with a hammer. I don't know why. Michael Stipe, yes. Adam Duritz, hell yes. You know, Adam Duritz never done anything to me. I own that first record. Still listen to it quite frequently. Wouldn't save that guy if he was being devoured by dogs. I don't know why. Well, what are you going to do? It's 503-535-9100 or 1-877-535-9100. So coming up Friday, April 15th, 8 p.m. at the Viper Room on 7th and Hawthorne, Rick Emerson Listener Party 8. Rick Emerson, the as-yet-unnamed Rick Emerson Listener Party 8. So be listening for details on that. Here's what's coming. We'll do the Geek Watch here in a moment. We'll welcome Dennis Pitzenbarger here from the Portland Tribune. We've got It's the Worst Song Ever. Try to get to the top five. And I'm going to do it today, come hell or high water. I'm going to talk about this gadget story, because if I don't, it's going to be permanently outdated and it's going to be no fun. Let's do the Geek Watch for Monday.
Ugh, this high-speed modem is intolerably slow.
In the Quasar's dilemma, remember you used...
Just a television show, that's all, okay?
Right, but because we were wondering if the quantum flux... So just listen on
there. There is no quantum flux. There's no auxiliary. There's no goddamn ship.
You got it?
Energized.
By the way, just as an email that arrived serendipitously at the beginning of the Geek Watch. Rick, the record from Missile Command score will be attempted this weekend by William Carlton. Carlton. He will have to beat a score of 80 million. That will require him to stay awake for at least 60 hours. I will keep you posted if any changes. That's from O-Man. So I don't know where that record's being attempted, but somewhere, someplace, inside the great city of Portland, Oregon, the Missile Command record is being attempted. Missile Command, by the way, which never... See how much different that coffee... How much difference the coffee makes? It's all, like, failing and flagging a while back. Now I'm all fine. Fine and rolling again with brilliant and amusing observations and anecdotes about all manner of things. The Missile Command never gets the credit it deserves for really being the genesis of the point-and-click graphic user interface Windows system. You know, you think every time you use a computer now, you just point, move a little rollerball and then clicking. It's all Missile Command, my friend. That is the Adam and Eve of the user interface that we know today. Here's your Geek Watch Part 1. Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson has said it'll be up to 4 years before he starts work on a film version of The Hobbit. So the good news is he's going to do it because there was a whole bunch of speculation that he would never make The Hobbit film, or There and Back Again, as it's called in book form. The Oscar winner said on a visit to Sydney there was a desire to make it, not before lengthy negotiations. I think it's going to be a lot of lawyers sitting in a room trying to thrash out a deal before it happens, he said, the New Zealander. The rights to J.R.R. Tolkien's book. You know, you can spot that somebody's just a colossal nerd is when they got two middle names. Did you ever know anybody with two middle names wasn't a dork machine? No, the answer is no. You know what else I could do without? People starting their names with a goddamn initial. Just use a whole friggin' name, would you please? G. Gordon Liddy, J. Edgar Hoover. R. Eat me. Jackson, who is currently filming a remake of the Hollywood classic King Kong, which is a waste of his talents, said he thought the sale of MGM Studios to the Sony Corporation would cast further uncertainty in the project. He was in the Australian city to visit a Lord of the Rings exhibition, which has attracted 140,000 pale, lifeless visitors since it opened in December. Part two. Okay, Sarah, tell me where this invention comes. Really, this is just, even by Microsoft standards, this is reaching a bit for thievery, because we all know that, not unlike this program, Microsoft can't really create anything original. They just steal things from other people, make them better, and then do a shrewder job of marketing. So in that sense, they are the Rick Emerson Show of the computer industry. Researchers from Microsoft's Cambridge office in Britain are designing a clock that, instead of telling time, uses GPS technology to pinpoint the locations of family members. Sarah?
Yes?
What does that sound like to you? Come on. I know you know it. I know you know where that comes from. Don't give me that blank look.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't play cool with me. Don't. Who do you know that has a grandfather clock, which, instead of telling the time, shows the locations of all members of their clan?
Oh, isn't that in Harry Potter?
It is. It is, in fact.
No, but that's the map. That isn't a clock.
It's a clock, but it has hands, and, I mean, it functions like a clock.
Are you talking about the map that you have to tap on it?
No, you're talking about the... I don't know. You're talking about the Marauder's map. That Harry uses. That was developed by Padfoot and... Never mind. This is the clock the Weasleys have.
Okay. I didn't even remember that.
Sure you didn't. You're too busy remembering the Marauder's map. They've got a few possible designs for the family awareness clock, including one that has a hand for each person and points to places like home or work to show their location, and does so automatically based on a GPS. It's that prototype that got plenty of attention when it was displayed at TechFest, Microsoft's internal technology fair in Seattle, because it's based directly on a Harry Potter invention. In the popular Potter books by J.K. Rowling, Harry's best pal, Ron Weasley, has a magic clock in his home that shows where his brothers, sisters, and parents are. We were inspired by J.K. Rowling's take on family tracking in the form of the Weasley family clock, with different hands corresponding to the whereabouts of different members of the Weasley family, Microsoft spokeswoman Julie Woodbury said. I mean, that's either colossally great or colossally lame. But you would actually, at Microsoft, they would actually be sitting thumbing through Harry Potter books for things to create. I guess that's cool. There's your Geek Watch for Monday.
By Grabthar's hammer, by the sons of Warvan, I shall avenge you.
Next. Ooh, Looney
anus and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
Now, you're thinking of the Marauder's map that Harry's dad, James, created when he was at Hogwarts that showed the location of all people and living things inside the Hogwarts school at any given time. Don't give me the goddamn stink eye. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Portland Tribune. Trying to act all above me. Dennis Pitchenbogger. What?
That Geek Watch was off the chart, man.
I saw what's in your garage this weekend.
Hey, admittingly,
8-track collection, like 9 feet high.
Isn't that awesome, though?
Uh huh.
Didn't you want to borrow my, what's his name? Not Burke Bacharach.
No, you
but,
did. The Mitch Miller records?
Mitch Miller.
And you did have in your collection, as referenced in Bigger Than Jesus, Reader's Digest presents the best of mood music.
Oh.
Which is like a 4-record set that my parents had.
My, unfortunately, my LP player is on the Fritz right now. But I tell you, man, you put some of those old vinyl on there, and it's just, I mean, there is either subliminal messages.
Did you move into your house before you hooked up with Brandy?
Yes.
Okay. Which is... I mean, it really is amazing that you were able to get a girlfriend because, I mean...
I know.
I mean, no disrespect,
no,
but I mean...
No.
We're playing poker on Saturday, and we're sitting there, and... I mean, and it's just like...
It's a man's land. Give it to me.
It's like female repellent. There's a card table in the middle of the unheated garage, a gigantic bowl containing 50 pounds of Doritos. The air is filled with the smells of sweaty man and cigar smoke. The walls are covered with nude women and auto racing calendars. I mean, there's just the bit, like the naked fluorescent bulb burning overhead and doing that thing where it's starting to burn out a little bit and it gives you that twitch in your left eye after about half an hour.
That's kind of the techno beat, as I call it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it really was phenomenally dorky.
The three TVs,
yeah.
with bunny ears.
Yes. So, I mean, it really was great. So,
you know, I do what I can. I will have to say, you got to give Brandy credit, though. She... You know, I want to stake her and put her in the World Series of Poker and let her start mopping people up, man,
well,
because
dude, I mean,
she keeps winning.
Well, I got to tell you, I mean, it's like we played two rounds of poker on Saturday, and they were beaten by girls both times.
And you know what? Not to go off on it, but I will have to say that Laura has unmistakably set the bar as the biggest hand I've ever seen and taking out the most people. She took four of us out.
Yeah.
With four kings, and the kings over aces to back
and
it up.
And a full house.
Oh.
Yeah, so...
It was painful.
Well, so we're all manly men. It's like it's Rob from the House of Rick, and Dennis, and me, and...
Ian.
Ian Gordon is there, and Richie Bristol from Promotions is there. And, of course, we're all, like, scratching ourselves and adjusting our junk, and, you know, various things are being smoked, and Grey Goose vodka or whatever is being consumed. And
flowing nicely.
We're talking about how women, but we really know what they need, and, you know, anyway, and then just beaten savagely by your girlfriend, and then the second time around, we're beaten savagely by my wife.
Oh,
which
yeah.
is why, by the way, I proposed long ago that there not be any women allowed, which is why this was initially a non-co-ed game.
Well,
and then women just started to creep in, but here the thing is, and now it's too late. See, the problem is that you, and you are to blame for this, and I want to say at the very outset, I like Brandy, she's a nice girl, don't have any problem with her, she's very beautiful and funny and talented and all that, and I got no problem with my wife, but it was a guy's game, and it was man night, which is what we originally called it. And then you, Dennis Pitchenbogger, decided to do a lot, because you are a slave to your penis, you
yes,
decided
I
to
am.
Allow your girlfriend to show up and infiltrate the game, and she has now ruined our lives because she comes there. And so now every Saturday, I am paying for the privilege of being beaten by something, beaten by a girl at something. On Saturday, twice in a row. And one of those girls goes home with me and then mocked me about it for the duration of the weekend. But see, and now we're screwed. It's too late. We can't ever go back to having it be a guy's night because it's just going to look like sour male grapes.
Oh, yeah.
If we try to bar women from it now, it's just going to look like I'm pissed off that we're being beaten by women, which is, of course, the case, but I can't admit to that. So now I...
Well, it was easy to
kill myself.
Well, you know, in the beginning, it was easy because she would get drunk and then just go in on, like, 7-2.
Right.
Now, she doesn't drink at all, and she's all into the game, and she's, like, really embraced the game of Texas Hold'em. And she's becoming far too good at it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Is she just, you know, you don't know whether she's bluffing. You don't know whether she's got pocket rockets. I mean, it's just all of a sudden you're done. And
okay, can we stop?
Well, no, I
let's
can just
get to the worst song. No, you have a wonderful girlfriend. Let's just move on.
I want to talk about the Xbox.
Xbox, whatever.
Oh, Xbox 2.
Yeah.
I right. Comcast has got me under the game show network or the
Hey, Rick, I have the worst song ever potted up.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Listen to that. Intercom management, be proud of you taking control of the show, taking hold of the rudder. Okay, let's do this. We'll play It's the Worst Song You've Ever Heard. Then we will come back, and we are going to have to do this gadget list. And we will talk to Dennis about what you're driving this week, what's going to be in the Tribune, and we'll try to squeeze in the top five. We may or may not get to that, but we're going to do the worst song ever. Then we'll do this list. I think it was PC Magazine put out a list of 100 greatest gadgets of all time. So we'll do that after the break. I want to thank Shannon. Her name was a woman named Shannon sent this to us. This combines. This is like a Sarah's chocolate and my peanut butter kind of a thing. This is one of the hits the kids are down with. The people in the 94.7 Nation, or whatever that is.
I know you remember. I sent you a thank you email.
This is the...
This is the worst song ever.
Well, it is hard to fathom how anything by Modest Mouse could be made worse.
Oh,
but
I was hoping this wasn't what that was.
Oh, yeah. So there's this song by Modest Mouse. Modest Mouse, you know what they sound like? It's like if you'd taken that guy from Dexy's Midnight Runners and slammed his like, junk in a vice. You know what I mean?
I really like the Postal Service, though. Just not a big fan of Modest Mouse.
The Postal Service is cool. Postal Service and Death Cab for
Cutie. A lot of people compare them, yeah.
Yeah, but the Modest Mouse, man, it's just a bunch of goddamn whiny mope rock. And I, you know, just listened to by a bunch
I
of guys.
I think they're name dropped a lot.
Corduroy pants. Well, yeah, it's just like hipster wine music to me. But I digress. However bad that song may be in its original form, and I assure you it is terrible, this is that Modest Mouse song as sung by a group of school children. It's the worst song you've ever heard. We're back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. Stand right there.
Good news is on the way.
All right, back after this. This is the Rick Emerson Show.